أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذبه من يشاء والله على كل شيء قدير. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كلنا آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. صدق الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. When one considers learning, particularly learning skill, sort of becoming competent in a task, maybe in a workplace, one can always distinguish two sort of fundamental themes. You have to learn how to do the thing, and you have to learn why the thing is done. And intuitively, most people recognize that the why is the bigger issue. If I understand why I should do something, I'll work out how to do it. Whereas if I understand how to do something and I'm not convinced I should do it, I don't understand the why to it, then I will not be particularly committed to doing the thing. So, this issue of why is a very important question. It is the question. And then one can also say, well, if one considers the whole issue of being a human being and this, this experience of us on this blue marble, what they say, the third rock from the sun, the question is why? And one can answer that question scripturally, and I'm not suggesting there'd be anything inappropriate to doing that, but I think the why is pretty much implicit in how we experience things. It's it is implicit in how perception works. I mean, if you gave yourself the opportunity to really get a sense of how things are, and normally for us as human beings, this is kind of going up to a high place. We say, you go up the mountain to get a sense of perspective, literally perspective. You get a sense of vista. And you see how grand and vast it is. against your smallness, then that experience produces in you a state of amazement and a state of wonder and a state of awe. All of that wraps up into the experience of being worshipful. Hey, if you're worshipful, aren't you in a state of awe? Aren't you in a state of wonder? So we don't need to take a single step outside of our own human experience to know why we're here. We are here for the stupendous experience of awe. That's why we've been made. We've been here to be enchanted with this wondrous experience of the universe that surrounds us. And not just to wonder at it, but to wonder at its source, as this obviously unfathomable intelligence that has produced all of this. That perception that what you're looking at is fundamentally miraculous and stupendous vindicates being human. You need nothing else. You don't need to find a cure to cancer. You don't need to go and save the planet. That perception is the truly uniquely human perception. It's the truly uniquely human experience that vindicates being a human being. And the essence of that is to look at the world with wonder. And truly, if you afford yourself an unprejudiced and long look at anything, you will see that anything that presents itself to you in terms of your perception of it is bigger than it appears. It is more than it appears. Human beings are a very good example of this. You know, in terms of our normal interaction with human beings, we do like a cardboard cutout. Otherwise, you know, it gets very busy. I mean, all these people around you, you reduce them to like two-dimensional sort of cartoons. But if you gave yourself just an hour, an uninterrupting hour, where you allow somebody else to narrate their biography to you, you will be amazed. And it doesn't matter who you're talking about. It could be a pauper or a prince. Every human being's story is truly fascinating and is truly stupendous. When we walk through a crowd, we are walking through a sea of jewels. So wherever we look at the wondrous. Every moment we're engaging the wondrous. Every moment that we look out at the world is an opportunity for us to truly say, Subhanallah. Is it not wonderful? Now, the clever people of our time have replaced this why explanation that we so deeply seek as human beings and thirst for with a how answer. They reduce everything to the issue of natural selection, survival of the fittest. This principle of natural selection has become the new God. There's even when people think of society now, they think in terms of a social Darwinism. You know, that, and you have this idea of the surviving cultural memes or the effect of some kind of a social Darwinism. That things, that, you know, certain things dominate and replace other things. So the new creator is this blind thing which deserves no awe from us because it is purely mechanistic. Now, whether or not there might be some evidence for natural selection, I mean, that's the second question. But the problem is that natural selection gets posited as fact, as truth. You know, there are other ways of explaining speciation, for instance, that the species exist, other than survival of the fittest. There's a woman called Lynn Margolis who came up with this idea that the natural phenomena that you see aren't competing with each other. There's a deep collaboration that happens in all natural systems, that things work together. They don't compete, they collaborate. Collaboration is the fundamental principle of the existence and not competition. That's a perfectly feasible way of explaining the universe, and it's certainly explaining living phenomena. So this presumption of the age, which is that all things exist because of natural selection is a fact and it's a truth, is the fundamental thing that it does is that it trivializes all explanation, all inquiry into why are we here, into an absolutely blind, sort of autonomous falling of one phenomenon to the next. It's sort of like pure mechanism. They are robbing existence of its soul. And they're doing that by trivializing it. When you answer a why question with a how answer, you are trivializing the thing. You are making it a pure sort of cause and effect, material cause and effect. Now, what's important to understand about this is that this does not dispute whether there may or may not be truth to the idea of natural selection. But the point is that it's a sleight of hand answer. You want to be amazed with the obvious stupendous intelligence that has produced the world you look at. And they deflate that amazement. They pop it by saying, but this is just, one thing eating something else up. Things competing has produced this wonder. Blind competition has produced this extraordinary phenomenon that we look at. What one has to understand about this kafir worldview, this materialist worldview that predominates today, it is what is taught in the universities, it has become the worldview, is that it suffers from two things. First of all, it trivializes and diminishes and demeans existence. And because it does that, it trivializes and demeans the self. I mean, if I'm a part of the universe that has specifically been designed to look back at the universe and to be amazed at it, it makes me actually quite significant in sort of a hidden way. Because I'm the one who's been designated to acknowledge that it is amazing. But if we say, no, but it is not amazing. It's just blind fate. What does that turn me into? Something as meaningless and arbitrary. Something without a why. So while this worldview that is being propagated by these materialists presents itself as scientific and as measured and as objective, it is in fact brutal, and it robs us of our humanity because it trivializes us. It trivializes the human being. You have no soul. You are just a bundle of metabolizing tissue, blundering through this world, trying to make sure that you survive a little bit longer than something else and that your genes survive. Like your genes have an intelligence that you don't have. The only reason why you exist is to impregnate somebody so that your genes can continue. It's such a banal worldview. It is so demeaning. Really, we're worthy of more. We shouldn't accept this. Not for ourselves. You aren't just metabolizing tissue, blundering through the world. You're not just there to propagate your genes. You are here to look back at the universe and to say, Subhanallah, is it not amazing? That's why you are here. Don't let them tell you otherwise. You see, fundamentally, if you say you're just here to survive, then what gets enshrined as the fundamental principle for your interaction with the world is your survival. Self-interest rules. Because if you see that you are here at the behest of other than you to see that it is amazing, then you're not yet to get anything. You're not yet. Self-interest doesn't rule. It is to live for other than yourself is what rules. You're here to give something. You know, which one of those lives do you want? Do you want a life where you live in a universe which is populated with your friends and allies? Or do you want to live in a universe which is populated by your enemies? May Allah grant us nearness to Him. Amen. May He grant us annihilation in Him. Amen. May He grant us death before we die. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'ala an-nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli 'ala sayyidina Muhammadin 'abdika wa rasulika nabiyyil ummi 'ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim taslima. Subhana rabbika rabbil 'izzati 'amma yasifun wa salamun 'alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil 'alamin.